entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 215.
And it's Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018.
Woohoo, 2018.
Happy New Year, everyone.
What?
You know, we talked about skipping this episode as well, having a two-week break. But we knew the demand was such.
It's so high.
That we would get negative feedback and you guys...
We can only skip one more throughout the next year to hit our 250 mark for the 250 anniversary.
You're right,
live
Jeff. You're right.
Podcast. Yeah.
All right, today, topics for today. Clearly we've got feedback and we'll start with that. But
clearly.
We've also got some jingles by Jeff. Jeff's jingles. Layton and I... We're in some sunnier weather locations. We were in Florida, have some stories from there, including fishing stories and a tech tip to go along with it.
Mm.
And then we've got... Layton has New Year's resolution.
I have one. No one else wants to set lofty goals for this, for 2018.
I have a loftish goal.
Okay.
No, you do have a goal, Jeff. We already decided that earlier, and there might be a few other things to go along as well.
Yeah.
But one thing I promise you is that this will not be a 2-hour episode.
Because yeah.
It is late, and I need to get sleep, and I just got back from vacation, and I need to get back on schedule.
Vacation is so hard.
Schedule is hard.
So to get started, let's go to the feedback.
Oh yeah. Mm.
And the first bit of feedback was. I don't remember if this happened very recently, if this was longer ago. But, Jeff, there was some more feedback that people really do enjoy having you on the podcast.
Mm.
I think it was Jen.
I think that we need to have more feedback about how grateful they are to have us on the podcast.
You mean you and I?
Yes.
Yeah, we've heard enough about Jeff.
I think the reason for that is that I'm still perceived as a bonus.
And not
as an actual, like, official crew member.
Yeah, well, that'll never happen, so I guess we'll just have to live with it. Also, we did hear some people think that we are a little too mean to you. I disagree, but...
I think we're too nice, actually. We're toning it down a lot.
But there's that. I was over... I experienced a couple of new things this Christmas season, and... I don't know if we'll get more into it or not, but one of the new things was the volleyball tournament in Sarasota, Florida.
Ooh,
in Pinecraft.
The Pincraft tournament.
Exactly.
That's a really big deal.
It is a big deal. First time I've ever been there. First time I've been to Sarasota over Christmas time.
Ooh, really? First time ever.
Yeah, and while I was there...
And you guys even have a house down there, or your parents do.
While I was there, someone came up to me. His name is Randy, and I didn't know that I knew who this person was, but then I did know who he was.
Oh.
He's in Haiti, and I helped, the gentleman's name is Randy Stallsfus, and I helped him and Matt Newcomer start a podcast about their experiences in Haiti. And it's called hackpodcast.com is the website for it, and it's the Haitian American, hang on, let me make sure I get it right. Haitian American Culture Podcast. Yeah, that's what it's called. So if you search for it on iTunes or on your Google Play, you'll be able to find that. And it's about their experiences living in Haiti as they're Americans.
Oh, wow.
So he, it was kind of cool that he came up and just mentioned that he listens to the podcast. And it was cool to get to meet him. And I had never met them before. I had just...
Oh, you never met them in person?
No, I never met them before.
You only chatted with them online.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was pretty neat to do.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then, Layton, you said you also had some feedback.
Yeah, somebody at some point in time, I don't know who it was or when it was, but I think recently, and I never said it on the podcast, but it was inquired about, are you going to have any more Willy the Welder stories?
Ooh.
And do you?
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah, I could come up with one.
I have one.
It may not you be have as one exciting.
Ready?
It may not be as exciting as some of the others, but
there's one I do have one.
Are you still trying to frame the story in your mind?
No, it's in my mind. It's burned in my brain. Like it is so there.
Do you know what's really coincidental?
What?
We actually have an employee named William.
Oh yeah.
And so we actually have so a real Willie the Welder.
A disclaimer that this is not about William. This Willie the Welder is not William.
Right.
Yes.
Well, okay, fine. I'll say it. And if this person would ever find out who they are and realize that we're talking about them, don't worry, your name is still anonymous, so it's fine. So this person, his name is not Willie, but this person...
we'll just call him Willie for old time's sake.
Willie, he was... assigned to cut some beams. And he had quite a large list of beams. At PWI, we do a lot of work on beams.
Mm. Truckloads per week.
Right.
Truckloads, multiple truckloads. Like full truckloads.
Full truckloads. Yeah, like a ton of beams. That's mostly all I do is cut beams on my machine. I have a beam cutting machine. And our work kind of almost centers around beams. All right? It's a big part. It's a massive part.
Just because
part.
Beams are so commonly used everywhere and they're cost effective.
And this person was, Willie, was given a list of beams to cut. And he's been there, I don't want to say exactly how long Willie has been working there, but... He's been working, I'll just say longer than 6 months, so that people still can't narrow down, because that still leaves like 30 plus people.
Yeah.
I think that work at Paul's Welding. And he asked me, hey, mind you, this is something that you would learn within 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there for over 6 months, and he asked me, hey, how do I tell the difference in the size of a beam?
Okay, and when you're talking about the width of the steel that creates the beam, or the like the an 8-inch beam or a 12-inch beam, that way?
Both.
Okay.
So, like, and it's okay that you don't know this, Ruben, because you haven't worked at Paul's Welding ever.
But you know most of it already because of what you just described there.
Right.
It's pretty much
It works sense. Is a beam size is labeled by the height that it is. So if it is...
Like measured... If it was
from the bottom of
the
eye to the top of the eye.
Yeah.
Is normally... That is the height of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is represented in inches, and it usually goes in 2-inch increments, right?
There's all different kinds.
You could also have 1-inch.
There's some in 1-inch increments, but it doesn't like go every inch either. You got like you go 6, 7, 8, 10, 12,
14.
13, 14. Like that, yeah, there's some in-betweeners too.
But anyways, so it's the first number is always the height of the eye. By the poundage per foot.
Okay.
Okay, so like let's say you have a 10-inch beam, a beam that is 10 inches high, and it is 22 pounds per foot. It's a 10-22.
Okay.
It is an 8-18.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how the labeling system works. And if you've worked at Paul's for any amount of time, you would just gather that. Or, like, you would ask that question because it's a very small chance that you won't have to, like, figure that out at some point. within the first couple weeks.
Yeah. Like, you're given a list that says 3x2 to 316 thick, and then a 1226 beam.
A 1226 beam.
You know, it just, I mean, it's a very common thing to have.
And it just, like, I didn't say anything. Instead, I just decided, you know, I'll just talk about this person on a podcast to 150 plus people like a real man would do. But I was just like amazed, like, wow. And
are these beams labeled?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like on the printed, beam itself?
On yeah, the beam it's itself. Printed. It's
and
supposed
it's like
to be.
In multiple places. Like, it's like every 5 feet or
it's
something.
It's
kind of
like a stencil.
Yeah.
Almost. Or mm-hmm. like a pattern.
Now,
like
granted, sometimes it's kind of hard to read because the machine that marks it doesn't do its job well. But mm-hmm. most of the time, that's. You don't say, hey, go find a beam that measures 8 inches and has a thickness of 3/4 inch. You yeah. don't do that. You yeah. say, go find an 825 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So are you worried now that maybe a mezzanine was built or a building was put up with vastly under
like, no.
a weak I-beam?
No.
Okay.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we overkill everything anyways. You need to support 1,000 pounds on your mezzanine? Well, we'll build it so that it supports at least 12.
This is totally off topic, Jeff, but I was watching a video of a guy who was setting up a building, and it's really interesting, but it's a building. He was building his own greenhouse,
uh-huh.
and I don't want to get into like what all this building was for, but a company saw what he was doing, the project that he had, and he's posting it on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and a company donated a flooring to him, like... And it's a
flooring.
It's plastic flooring that interlocks like puzzle pieces.
A flooring.
Yes, yeah. Like tiling. But yeah. It's like plastic, mm-hmm. and the plastic is about 2 inches thick, mm-hmm. and it's like they're pretty much a square foot
mm-hmm.
each tile is, and he said that each square foot of these pieces. Can hold up to 30,000 tons.
Whoa.
Good night. That's pretty impressive.
He said they usually use these for to work on loaded dump trucks and trains.
So that they like place a board of it across it or whatever.
Something.
Hold it.
But this is crazy.
That's pretty cool.
And because it's plastic... You can still cut right through it with a skill saw.
Yeah. Wow. That is cool.
Anyways, I just thought it was so interesting.
That was Willie the Welder. That's the end of Willie the Welder.
That really struck again.
That we do have some more feedback, though. This individual wrote in, asked to remain anonymous, and so we will. Driving to Florida and French Press is part of our listening entertainment for the long drive, but I feel compelled to comment on your December 12th podcast when Jeff and Layton were talking about their enjoyment of taking pictures and then their struggle of getting them edited. It gave me a flashback of knowing that somewhere out there, Layton still has his senior class DC pics that never got distributed. It's all okay, though. I understand. Life gets crazy, busy, Yeah, that's the end of it. So, do you have a comment on that, Layton?
The DC pics are somewhere. they're not distributed. Well, technically, they've been distributed to my new computer. But they're somewhere safe, I hope. And at some point, you know, who knows, maybe a magical little flash drive will end up in your mailbox. Not the fan's mailbox, but to this listener specifically.
All right, Jeff, did you have any feedback?
I didn't.
Okay.
No.
I'm sure there was maybe some more feedback from the last week and a half.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, if there was, I forget. And I guess we do need to clear this up. We may It takes a big podcaster to admit when they make mistakes. And we may have...
A mistake is such a strong word.
I know. I like to start off strong and then reel it back in. Okay, yeah. Good. We promised... Even promise is a strong word. We suggested...
We guaranteed.
No, Jeff. Guarantee...
The other way. Oh,
that
the other
implies
way.
That we're some kind of like somehow legally, liable.
No, that's warranty.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
No, that's a warranty.
We put a warranty on this.
Anyway, the Christmas Carol parody does not exist either.
Behold, it has fallen down the chimney.
It got stuck in shipping. It got stopped in shipping.
Who knows? Maybe next year.
Customs has it.
Okay.
So it was going to be, what was it, the night after Christmas, and then it migrated to the night after New Year's.
No, it got stuck. It never went that far. It got stuck. The night after Christmas is where it got stuck and remains there.
I thought about... No, I did say that, you know, we could rename it to the night after New Year's.
Oh, okay. I wasn't privy to that.
No, yeah, I never informed you of it. My brain is always going. So, I mean, let that be a lesson. Like, hey, even though we didn't come through, my brain did think about it.
Okay.
Kind of like good intentions.
Let's talk about some of the fun things that we did over Christmas.
I actually have a good story, a really good story that happened during Christmas. And as much, as boring as you think Indiana is, it was probably more exciting than both of your trips.
Well, Jeff,
whoa.
I do remember seeing something you posted on Instagram.
Yeah. It was pretty exciting. It was brief, but exciting.
Well, tell us the whole story, because people probably don't know.
Okay, so think way back to the early days of this podcast, about a year ago, or less. I don't know.
The early days of this podcast.
Jeff, I believe it was this summer.
This is like 4 years running.
So it was within the past year, we formed the Northern Indiana
Club. And we is Jeff... my brothers and Kyle and maybe a few others
and few cousins, and it was Nicholas and I's brainchild is what it was, because I wanted a car that I could drive around, and Nicholas just wanted to buy a beater to beat up. Anyways, long story short, we got our clunkers and we had fun with them. Mine didn't work half the time, but it was great anyways. So Nicholas's clunker has died officially. Got smashed by a rock and burned up. Theodore's
was that
no Malachi's got drove over
was
by
that
a bulldozer.
Accidental? That
it was not accidental.
Okay,
so it was first crushed with a rock, then thrown on a burning pile of trash, and then Malachi's got run over by a bulldozer. Theodore's, I think his just gave out. He may still have his other one. Anyways, so here's mine that never learned how to start itself until after all the other clunkers.
So you never partook in their driving and wheeling around this summer.
I partook in some shenanigans, but I actually had to get pushed to be able to start. Like, I'd put it in neutral. It was stick shift, so I put it in neutral, and they would push me along with another vehicle, and then I would drop the clutch, and it would pop the motor into a running state. And so anyways, and then I would drive around for a while until I stalled it by accident or something. Anyways, so my brother actually got the starter fixed, and I said, you know what? This thing's running pretty good.
And this happened after Christmas?
No, this was about 2 months ago. My brother finally got the starter fixed so that it actually starts by itself pretty decently, pretty consistently too. And so I told him, you can drive this thing around. As long as it runs, I'll let you drive it whenever you want. You know, you can use it for your first vehicle, yada, yada, yada. Anyways, and so he's all excited about this. Well, this thing is small. Two-seater, four-wheel drive, great for driving around in snow. And so Christmas Eve, all my cousins were over, like literally all of them from my mom's side. It was a lot of people. And we decided, hey, we're going to go bombing around out in the snow. So we did. We took off. We were doing donuts in the field and flying through the snow. It was pretty fun. And I noticed the heat wasn't working like it was supposed to, but I thought, probably just gave out. And so we kept on going. I went down the road to a parking lot, and we were doing some donuts. And me and two of my cousins were in this three-seater or this two-seater car, so it was pretty
You didn't even really need a heater. Your body heat was probably enough.
Yeah, yeah, it was fun. And all this thing just kind of like started kind of acting funny. So I was like, we were about a mile from home. So I was like, you know what? We should probably go home just in case this thing dies. I don't want to have to walk all the way home. We'll just do some dumb stuff around home. So we're hauling down the road, doing about 25, which feels like you're flying in this thing. And we're about halfway home, and I noticed that it like starts kind of like sputtering. I'm like, man, I wonder if I'm like running out of gas or something. And so it like kind of slows down, and so I downshifted, and then it was fine again. It took off down the road, and then it just like started getting slower again. I was like, what the world? So I downshift again, and then I take off, and then it's totally fine. Well, get to about a quarter mile from home, and all of a sudden, it just like, done. And it just died. And I tried starting it, nothing. And
so then, would it turn over, though, when you turned the key?
Yeah, yeah. And then my cousins and I realized, man, there is a lot of smoke inside this car. And note, please note that there was always smoke coming into the car because the exhaust had been chopped off, and the exhaust was literally exhausting right underneath where we were sitting. So some of it filtered up in there, and so we had the windows cracked, you know, to keep the airflow. Anyways, but there was, like, a lot of smoke. And so we, like, jumped out because it was, like, not good to stay in there. And then I noticed, man, there's a lot of smoke coming out of under the hood. And
is this more than normal, or is this something abnormal?
It normally did smoke from under the hood because it had an oil leak. Okay? And the oil would spew out onto hot components of the engine and then just, like, steam off or whatever. And so, but I was like, man, that's just a lot. And so my brother was over there with his four-wheeler, and we popped the hood open, and lo and behold, there are flames inside the engine compartment. And so we ran back. This was the highlight of my 10-year-old cousin's day. And we ran back, grabbed the fire extinguisher. By the time we got back out, the hood was like too hot to touch. So I just, but it was kind of bent already. So there's like a crack I could shove the fire extinguisher into, and like, and it kind of helped, and then it didn't help. And so we spent the rest of the afternoon watching my car burn on the road, and it was a glorious sight.
You need to go on Instagram, lheffe.photography.
Yeah.
L.heffe.photography.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful picture.
Yeah, it's a great picture. And so I didn't want to call the fire department because I didn't want to deal with the whatever they would charge, because they sometimes do if you call them out. I don't know under what circumstances, but they do. But the neighbors ended up calling the fire department, even though I told them not to, because I was just going to let it burn up on the road. There's nothing for it to hurt. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and by the time the fire department showed up, it was mostly burned. It was still a decent amount of fire shooting out of it, but even the fuel had already started to burn off, and so, anyways, they sprayed it out, and yeah, so now I have a pile of melted metal sitting out in the yard next to our house.
You should post some more pictures, Jeff.
Of it.
I don't know if you have any more. I should take some more. And definitely take some before, too, while it was still in pristine condition.
Oh.
And then some photos where it's engulfed in flame.
Should we have a moment of silence for Jeffy's clunker?
No.
Yeah, I think we should.
It's not that sad.
How about half a moment?
It's just honoring its passing.
Okay.
That was good.
Yeah, that is enough.
So, this car, when I bought it, actually was on fire the day that I bought it. It's because the clutch was not engaging 100%. And so the clutch is like a brake. Okay? It's like a brake pad, except it's being applied the entire time. And it's linking the engine to the transmission, okay? And so it's literally just a giant brake pad in there that's being squeezed against something on the engine that turns the transmission. So it does have the opportunity to slip a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then when you press the clutch pedal, you're actually releasing that brake, which then allows the engine and transmission to spin independently and then allows you to shift.
Jeff, so this is why people do enjoy you on the podcast. You're able to simplify things and explain
it. I feel like he just made things way more complicated.
No.
I feel like I know less about a clutch than what I did.
Well, okay. So, now imagine when you're slowing your car down and you just lightly step on the brakes.
Yes.
It like slows you down. Okay. Yes. There's grabbing between the brake pads and the brake disc, but it generates heat in return.
Ah.
Okay. When you're completely stopped, there's no heat being generated. And when you're going 100%, then there's no heat being generated. But when it's partially engaged, there's heat.
Because of the friction.
Because of the friction.
Because of the friction.
And when I first bought this car, the clutch would never fully engage. There was something broken in the transmission. And so it was constantly having this friction. And one of my buddies was driving behind me as I drove it home. He said, actually, the whole casing underneath the engine was glowing red. Because there was so much heat being generated by this clutch.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I was literally redlining this thing and barely going anywhere.
I remember, Jeff, this feels like we should just take a moment and think back. I remember the day you bought that car. It was a Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And you were supposed to meet us at the Great Wall in Elkhart, Chinese place to eat food. And you were running late, and you ended up coming, and they were closed by the time you came.
Yeah.
But I do remember you driving away then, and I do remember you were going very slowly because I don't think you could get into a higher gear.
It just wouldn't go fast because the clutch never fully grabbed.
Oh, so you were in a higher gear.
Yeah, I was trying. I did the best I could. And I ended up towing it home that night because it like started smoking so badly that people behind me were like slowing down because there was so much smoke.
What is it with you? And your car's a fire. Because your other car also had some
And that wasn't
fire.
Even a clunker.
No.
Yeah, that was a...
My other car.
Yeah,
you had a piece of cardboard.
Cardboard that was lit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You have the craziest car problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is what happens if you buy a car for $400.
You bought your Ford for $400?
No, the clunker.
Oh, okay.
And it was actually listed for $500, and the guy was like... He knew that he was giving me a crappy car, and so he's like, you can have it for $400.
Did you even chew him down, or did he just...
Nope, he just offered it.
He didn't want
to... You tried to shove $500 into his hand, and he took that... He took $100 of it and, like, wadded it up and threw it back at you.
Threw it back at me, because he knew it was so bad.
He couldn't lower himself to, like, that level.
Yeah. Oh. It was a great car. It was all rusted through, and when you drove down the road, wind, cold air blew up your leg, up your pant leg. But it was a great car.
Do you have plans to buy another clunker?
Maybe not in the same terrible state, but it would be nice to have a secondary vehicle, a supplementary vehicle for our family. In the case that one of our vehicles is in the shop. Because when it was working, the clunker was great to have. My dad had his truck in the shop for a few days, and he just drove that to work, and it was perfect. You know, cheap vehicle, cheap insurance.
It's a loaner. You need a loaner.
It's basically a loaner.
You need a loaner car.
Well, Jeff, that was a good story. It's better than what I expected from... I mean, we went to Florida.
Yeah.
I went to Phoenix, so I expected the best stories to be in our part of the country.
Well, like I said, it's not... I said it was the most exciting. Mm. So, and you have to give me that one.
I'll give you that.
It was pretty exciting.
When I saw it, Jeff, joy filled me. I was overjoyed. Because I knew it would be, not because of your loss, but I knew it would be some good content.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's insane how many things I do now because I think, hey, this might make for good content for the podcast, so I might as well do this. Like... My fishing trip that I took in Florida.
Was that the reason you went fishing?
It was a good part. It definitely like tipped me over the edge of like, should I go, should I not go? Well, yeah, it would be kind of fun. Hey, and also this would make great content for the podcast. Okay, I'll go. It was I mean, it was a little bit of a factor, yeah. I guess I'll just go into it.
Yeah.
Carrie and I flew down.
We didn't go fishing together.
Yeah.
Because you went on an earlier fishing trip before I was there, and I went on a later one after you were gone.
Carrie and I flew to Florida, via Allegiant, which, by the way, the best airline ever. I just thought I should spread the word. flew down to Florida. On a Friday morning. And then we got there, we chilled Friday, And then Saturday morning, Carrie's family likes to do things early. Or, I don't know about her whole family, but the men do. They like to do things early. And by early, I mean get up at, 5:30 on a Saturday while you're on vacation and go fishing. Like,
early on a Saturday while you're on vacation. That's the worst time.
Those are so many contradictions to the word early. But anyways, so they went fishing. They said that, hey, you can go fishing if you want to. Don't feel pressured to. I was like, I do, but okay. but I didn't go when they went. They left at like 5:30. I decided I'll go whenever I jolly well feel like it.
I feel like we should intertwine our stories a little bit.
Okay.
When we were going to go, we went on maybe Thursday.
Okay.
No, it was Wednesday. We went Wednesday, and before we were the night before, Carmen's brother-in-law Russ.
Mm.
He had this app that he was looking at. He was looking at an app that gave a specific time that is supposed to guarantee the best time to go fishing, because it's the time the fish are feeding.
What's that app called?
Here's a tech tip for you. If you're a hunter or a fisher, search for fishing and hunting solunar time. And the app is a bluish app with a picture of a fish jumping over what looks like a roller coaster. Right?
Yeah. No, well,
it's not a roller coaster.
It's not a roller coaster. It's a graph. It's supposed to be a depth finder.
No, it's not a depth finder. It's a graph.
It's showing the depth of the fish.
But it's showing the time.
Right.
But it looks like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Anyway, it gives you two times in the day that are the best times because it's when the fish are most active and feeding.
Right.
Is it all fish or certain fish?
I think it's all fish.
All fish operate on the exact same pattern, Jeff.
Solunar pattern.
If you were...
The solunar pattern.
...an actual fisherman, I think you'd know this.
If I was an actual fish, I probably would know this, but I don't even think...
No, the fish... It happens organically.
Yeah, they don't know that, hey, I'm hungry.
They just think...
Yeah, exactly.
So the best time to go was...
You're not self-aware.
...was between, I think, 7:30 and 9:30. It was about a two-hour period.
A.M.?
In the AM, but there's an AM or twice in a day is the best time to go, and there's also an okay time to go, and we wanted to get out there at the best time to go, and it also gives an index it gives a rating, a percentage of because some days of the week are higher or better than other times. So definitely check this out. Next time I go fishing, I'm going to check this out. But the reason I wanted to intertwine our two stories, Layton.
Yes.
It's because Russ was very adamant about looking at the app and seeing when the best time was to go fishing. Did that happen?
No.
Because
not at all.
To me, it appeared he was an avid fisherman. And then when I found out, when I was told the story about, oh, well, Layton and Russ didn't go out until,
8:30
later in the morning,
9 o'clock.
I was kind of surprised because it seemed this was very high priority.
Well, I think he really enjoyed himself while he was out there,
okay.
And I think it kindled a new little passion in his life. For me, I don't plan on buying a boat. I don't even plan on buying a fishing rod. But the next time somebody offers me to go fishing or asks me to go fishing with them, I might think about it.
Tell us more about it. So they went early in the morning. You guys joined them a little bit later.
Yeah, we joined them a little bit later. I left the house around 8:30, got there about 9, and they picked us up at the dock. And
did you have any special gear?
Some
people they need to have, are they called polarizing sunglasses so you can see through
the water
or something
and see every little nook and cranny of the of the floor.
Of the ocean.
Ocean floor, or whatever floor, the lake floor, the pond floor, whatever floor.
River floor.
Yeah. All those floors. Me and Russ decided, like, we do want some gear, but mostly just protection. We wanted some sunglasses, and they definitely weren't polarizing, other than the way they looked. I mean, I dare say I looked pretty good in mine.
Did you go with a more traditional fisherman look, like a straw, or not, maybe not straw, but the more rustic fisherman look, or the new fisherman look, or what were you going for?
I was going for Tom Cruise from Top Gun. That was the look that I was going for.
Okay, so you had aviators.
I never took off my shirt, but I did. Yeah, I did buy aviators and a bill cap. And I left the sticker on for about half the day because I wanted people to know that it was new. You can tell somebody's a new fisherman if they still have the sticker on the hat. And also if it's a bill cap and not like one of those all around brimmed hats, yeah, that have fish hooks stuck in them.
Oh, those are the best.
Why are they the best, Jeff?
I don't know.
Okay.
They're like, hey, look at me. I'm so good at fishing that I have accidentally hooked all of my hooks into my hat while casting them.
Oh, I thought it was there hooks.
It's a show of experience. Because once they're in there, they're really hard to get out.
Yeah, but I disagree, Jeff, because if you're casting and hooking your hat, that's an accident. It's not on purpose.
It's a proof of experience.
No, I'd say it's a proof of carelessness.
That too.
True.
If your hat is littered with hooks that have accidentally been snagged when you're trying to cast.
Who in their right mind brings that's another thing we need to talk about. What is the proper way to cast?
I wish I would have seen you. How many times, is this only the second time in your life you'd ever gone fishing?
I mean, I'd gone bobber fishing a couple times. That is the most boring fishing ever. Bobber fishing is the most boring fishing.
Well, it depends what fish you're going for.
It is retarded.
But if you're catching fish, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is
fun.
We were arguing about this a little bit. We're getting a little bit off subject. But is it fishing? Some people enjoy fishing. I feel like it's not fishing unless you're catching fish.
Ooh.
And I don't think it's hunting unless you're killing something.
But so many times I hear...
Think about this. Hunting doesn't guarantee... When you hunt something, you're like going to get it. You're stalking it. That's like hunting.
With fishing?
Did you finish the hunt?
You can go deal hunting when you go out shopping on Black Friday and still not get anything.
Well, then there needs to be a different word.
But fishing...
There needs to be a word for when you catch fish and a word for when you kill something when you go hunting.
I think you're on to something with fishing. Hunting, I would put in a different category.
I feel like if you're going out there... fishing in quotes. If you're out there fishing, you don't catch any fish. You're just casting.
That's a good point.
Anyway, that's just what I was thinking.
Do you think? I think you are onto something there with that, Ruben. I think that you should call it just casting if you're not catching any fish. We went casting out on the lake, and casting. We went animal speculating.
There you go.
Often you don't even see an animal. At least not the one that you're trying to kill.
Right. And it's true. Yeah. Yeah, actually, if you do see something, if a hunter sees something out in their tree stand, they act defeated if you, like, hey, did you go hunting this morning? And like, yeah, I got up at 3 in the morning and froze myself in my tree stand. And didn't see anything. So I guess that's an unsuccessful hunt. But if they do manage, if they still didn't shoot anything, but they saw something, then it's like, oh, I saw a couple of big ones. It's like, oh, well, great. How about instead of like looking at it, you actually like bring it home?
Because I can look at a deer on my computer.
Yeah. Like, you had a successful hunt, Ruben.
I know.
Good job. And you didn't have to get up at 3 in the morning and freeze yourself.
That's a good point. Here's my rant about fishing. You can go on a great fishing trip and have a blast all day. But if you go out on a charter, you're going to spend like anywhere between $150 to $200, depending on where you go or what you go for. And the amount of fish that you bring back is not worth that much. Plus, then you have to take them back and get them cleaned, which costs you another $40 to $60, depending on how many fish there are.
Jeff, it's all about the experience, though.
So, yeah, I do agree. It's about the experience. But if I'm paying $200 for an experience, I'll go to a really nice restaurant and enjoy myself more.
I was going to say, you would totally spend $200 at a restaurant on the animal that's already been hunted.
Bringing this back, back to where we started, did you go fishing then, Layton, or did you go casting?
I went fishing for about an hour and casting for about three.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I had a different experience. I went fishing.
You went fishing.
And I don't know if it had anything to do with...
Was it efficient?
It was efficient. My first two casts, I went 2 for 2.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
That's fishing.
I agree. And that was fun. Fishing is fun.
Fishing, catching fish is fun.
Yeah. Casting is okay for about, 15 to 30 minutes. But fishing is fun.
Do you attribute your efficient fishing to Russ's app?
I do. In fact, I would go so far as to say he was an aficionado.
Oh, I think we've taken this too far. It's time to stop!
I don't know if it had anything to do with that or not, but close to that time frame, the fishing slowed down. The casting maintained, but the fish catching slowed down.
Okay.
And...
What all did you catch?
I caught...
What are the different kinds?
I learned so much. There's catfish in the ocean.
What?
Yes, they have whiskers and they will sting you, gix you. That was one of my first two fish.
I've never been gixed by a catfish, but I have been bitten by one and they hurt. They have no teeth, but they can bite really hard.
And then the only other thing I caught was called a ladyfish. And those things...
Those are fun.
Those things are fun. They fight.
They do.
There was another fish that was called a puff fish, I believe. And they made the most horrifying sound with their mouth.
What sound did they make?
Like the gritting of teeth. The gritting of 20 people's teeth all bunched together is what it sounded like. It sounded bad.
Mm. So you found, you caught ladyfish, pufffish.
I didn't catch a pufffish, but someone else did.
Okay.
And then we were trying to catch trout, which again, I didn't know there was trout in the ocean.
Oh.
But there are.
I didn't either.
But ladyfish is what most of what we caught, and those aren't good eating fish.
Yeah, you gotta throw them back.
They have a lot of bones or something.
Well, I heard their meat's mushy.
Maybe that too.
That's what I was told. So, I caught a puff fish and a trout.
Oh, you did catch a trout.
I caught a trout.
Did you keep it?
Well, not according to the DNR. But
okay.
But I also caught a ladyfish, a couple of those, actually, and it was great, great fun. The puffer
was fish. The ladyfish kind of colorful.
No, it's silver, but definitely has an attitude.
Yeah, It's definitely. I'm surprised.
Are we stereotyping at all
for a lady?
No, I mean
a ladyfish. It wasn't very ladylike. I'm sick of these fishy jokes.
I think that was about all I had wanted to talk about from the fishing experience. Was there anything more that you wanted to talk about with that?
I don't think so.
I already told you about the going to the Pinecraft volleyball tournament.
Ah, yes.
Another first that
Wait, is that called Teen Tourney?
No, that's something else.
Okay.
Because there's no way some of the people that were playing were not teens.
Okay.
There was also the Christmas parade that went through Pinecraft.
Ah, yes.
Which I'd heard about, but never experienced before.
Wait, Ruben, how long have we been recording?
45 minutes.
I feel like we should break this up into two parts. I don't think we want to give up all of our holiday content.
Okay. Well, then we'll come back with the Christmas parade.
Okay.
Next week on Tuesday. And we will still do Jeff's Jingles, though.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
I have one thing to gripe about, and it is timely, so we should talk about it now. The weather.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben, you missed it. You actually did miss it. But yesterday...
I still feel like I'm experiencing the bad weather.
Yesterday morning, I got up to go to work. And, Kate, generally, Christmas and winter in Indiana is kind of like sporadic. Like, it'll snow, then melt, and then snow, then melt, and then snow, and then stick around for a while, and then melt some more, and then snow again. Yeah. Anyways, that's like a speed run of the winter.
It's almost like its own little mini cycle. Like for the year, we have spring, summer, fall, winter. Yeah. In winter, we have additional cycles where it's just snowing and then melting
a few days later. We have pre-spring when all the trees start budding, and then it freezes and kills them all, and then we have real spring, and then we still have a little bit of winter left over.
Mm-hmm.
But usually about Christmas time, it's anywhere. I mean, we might have snow on the ground.
But probably not.
But probably it will melt during the week of Christmas. And it actually did a little bit. During the week of Christmas. However, yesterday, I woke up to go to work and got out to my car. And I knew that it was cold outside, so I went to start my car early. The first thing I noticed, I get to the door, and you know that little steel plate that the door latches into? You know, that's on the actual door frame, not on the door itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was frost on that. And so I was like, it's probably pretty cold outside. I opened the door, and a gust of steam rolls out of the house into the outdoors.
Kind of like proclaiming your entrance into the outside.
Yeah, meaning like when you,
Jeff is here.
Jeff is here, and it's so
like,
cold.
Like the steam inside the house, just the moisture just froze instantly when it hit the outdoors. And then I go to start my car, and it was like, and finally took off after about, it took probably four to six times as long to crank as normal, and it was minus 15 at my house.
I don't remember it being the temperature being that cold before.
Yeah, I don't either.
I remember it getting to below 10 or 10 below.
I remember 18 below from like 2 years ago, but that was in the middle of February, and it was for about 3 days.
I must have a short memory.
And then there was a wind chill, too. It was like, it was the year that it snowed a lot. Anyways, but that's what it was here yesterday. It was minus 15.
Can I jump off of your pet peeve about just the weather in general?
Yeah.
I don't like when people give when you ask them, hey, how cold is it today? And they'll give you the feels like temperature.
Oh, yeah.
Which factors in the wind chill. Give me the real temperature. And then you can say, oh, but with the wind chill, it's whatever.
Exactly.
Who gives you the feels like?
I know people. I know people.
There's an app, the Weather Channel app, I think gives you the real feel.
And I know 0 degrees feels different if it's windy or if it's still.
Yeah.
I get that. But I want the actual temp first. And then as a little additional... You know, a little extra crumb you can give me, though.
An extra crumb.
the minus 15 is just cold.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for anybody that has that normally during the winter.
Hey, Ruben.
Because it's actually miserable.
It's 5 degrees outside.
What does it feel like?
No, that is it's 5 degrees. It's actually 17 degrees outside, but it feels like 5.
Yeah. See, it's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
But... And then when you ask them, well, what is it with the wind chill?
And then they say, that is
with the wind chill.
It is.
See, they were just skipping to your last question right away. They were thinking of you, Ruben.
No.
Yeah.
Jeff Jingles, but real quick, one other thing we got to give to him.
What?
Okay, one of two. There's two games that we played a lot. In Florida. And they were all electronic, so you didn't have to worry about game pieces and cleaning up afterwards.
Setting up, cleaning up.
Yeah. That is the worst part
I'll give you the one, and then we'll give the other one next week. The one is called Crossy Road, and I first played it on the Apple TV.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun. By myself, it was fun. And then Layton told me that you can actually do two player. You can go, you can play with each other.
Like against or with?
With.
With.
You gotta be your team. You can keep track of each individual, like how many hops you took and how many top hops the other person took, but you're going on the same path.
So explain the premise of Crossy Road.
It's like Frogger, except it's a chicken.
So what's Frogger?
Frogger is a game where you jump across roads with cars going across, and the cars will not stop. They will not use blinkers. They will keep on going, and they're going at different speeds, and sometimes there's multiple lanes. And you need to just hop across the road. And with the Crossy Road, you start out as a chicken, but you can become a hipster whale. You can be a penguin. You can be a bunch of different things. And there's also rivers with logs going across. So as the log is going through, you need to jump onto the log, then jump onto a lily pad that's not moving, and then jump onto another log that is moving, and then jump across onto the other side of the river.
Whoa.
It is
that's an athletic chicken.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's fun.
Quite athletic.
And it's fun by yourself. And there's also an app on, you know, Android and iPhone. But to play two-player, you need to use an Apple TV.
Oh,
and an iPhone or an iPod or something like that. If you want to do two-player.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so you use the remote and then the one phone as the other remote.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Jeff, cool. I didn't have to explain that to you and you just got it.
Yep.
That's how smart he is.
Wow.
I keep on trying to tell you, Ruben. He simplifies things.
Yeah.
So we'll have another game for you then next week. But let's get to our jingle.
Yeah. So today I found some jingles. I was introduced to these jingles by my cousin during the holidays. And this is a channel on YouTube. You can find it by searching for the guy. His name is a little bit obscene, but just think of Poopy Flute and then go from there. You'll figure it out. So anyways, so he takes songs and popular songs and redoes them in his own personal style. So I have two songs. I'm not going to play them all the way through. See if you can guess what it is.
This sounds like Theodore or Nicholas trying to play the trumpet or whatever that instrument is.
Yep.
The kazoo.
Anyway, it gets better throughout. Anyhow, that's the first song. And then here's the next song.
I don't know this. Not yet.
You don't know this song? This is the Thomas the Tank Engine theme song.
Sorry, Jeff. I'm sure our listeners will get it, though.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
It is off tune, right? Like, clearly.
Intentionally.
Yeah, but just, like, is it less than half a,
less than half of
how much is it off?
Oh, it's like it varies. But quite a bit.
It's never off a full note anywhere, right? It's
sometimes.
Or is it sometimes? Okay.
Yeah. Here's another example. I'll play a quick one.
Ooh, at least this sounds nice.
Well, they always start out nice.
Is this Frozen?
This is the Frozen theme song.
You know, is this done electronically or is he playing?
No, this is actually instruments.
Okay.
We gotta get to the chorus of this one here.
Oh, yeah, let it.
Yeah.
guys should go and listen to it on YouTube, because it's playing in stereo, and on the podcast version you'll only hear it in mono. And there is there's an additional
dynamic to it.
There's a way of putting it.
So if you want a great way to annoy your relatives throughout the holidays, just go ahead and start playing that.
Ugh.
They'll laugh for the first one and a half, and then they'll get so sick of it.
I'm curious, how many views does one of those songs have?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this one here has
almost
a million views.
I would love to see the analytics to see how many, like, are these played all the way through, or is there only 10% that are played all the way through?
Yeah, they vary anywhere from the lowest I'm seeing here is 40,000 views, and the highest is 4.6 million. So, okay.
All right. Well, that's all we've got, guys. Unless, Layton, do you have anything more?
No, I don't. I do have some more segments, but we can save that for next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Layton, are you ready to get to the point?
I am ready to get to the point. Point number one. The French Press podcast breaks promises. Point number two. Willie the Welder is back. Point number three. Exciting stuff happens in Indiana, too. Point number four. Jeff supposedly simplifies things. Point number five. Fishing is fun. Casting is not. Point number six. And the last point. Jeff knows the Thomas the Tank Engine theme song.
And what is our word of the week?
Cold.